unwrapping his naked body out sounds and so ridiculous. And so John's heart skips a beat. He believed that Jesus was the Messiah. He believed that God has sent Jesus for a very special purpose. But what he sees and believes inside that tomb was not like anything he has ever seen before. This can only mean resurrection. In fact, this can only mean new creation. God is breaking into the darkness of that moment. He's picking up the pieces of life, our life. Not to get your old life back, but to make things brand new. To be new creations of God. Let me explain. When Jesus resurrected Lazarus from the dead, he returned to his old life, didn't he? He was back being the same Lazarus. He returned to the troubles of this world, and yet he would die again. Yes, it was a miracle of God. He got his old life back. In fact, when Lazarus came out of the tomb, it says his hands and feet were still wrapped in strips of linen, and cloth napkin was still wrapped around his face. And so Jesus instructed them to unwrap Lazarus. I mean, he was a resurrected all right, but he returned to the life in the same body, and sooner or later, he would yet die again. But not Jesus. Something was different. That Jesus supernaturally slipped out of the grave clothes is telling us that Jesus' resurrection is not back to what he was before death, but something of a new creation, a new glorified Jesus in a new glorified body. And so when Jesus saw the grave clothes inside, when John saw the grave clothes inside the tomb, his eyes were opened to something he's never seen before. A resurrection of a whole different kind has taken place. C.S. Lewis says the resurrection of Jesus is really the miracle of the new creation. And so Paul goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. Now, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus each Easter, but according to Paul, faith in Jesus doesn't just give you your old life back. In Jesus' death and resurrection, it's all about becoming a new creation of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you see and believe this as John did? Mary is still outside the tomb, and she is weeping. For whatever reason, John does not share the hunch of the resurrection of Jesus with her. Whatever the case, Peter and John return to where they were staying in Jerusalem, and now all the attention is focused on Mary's tears. She weeps under the cloud of darkness. But things are not as she thinks and feels. Now we, the readers of the story, as we hear the story, we know something that Mary doesn't know yet. We see the evidence through John and Peter, but really this is the powerful point of the story. When we suffer pain, it could be relational pain. It could be physical pain. It could be any darkness of any kind. Jesus, to us, sometimes seems hidden, doesn't he? He seems hidden. But in fact, he's always been there. He's always been there. In fact, God uses pain to shape us into new creations of God that will give testimony to his love and grace and his power. In Jesus, all things, even the messy things, are made new. But the living Jesus remains hidden to Mary. And sometimes her story is like our story. Her tears are like our tears. In pain, the living Jesus, the caring Jesus, the first fruits of resurrection seem hidden from us. As Mary's tears flowed, she returned inside the tomb. In fact, this may be the first time she actually entered the tomb, because the first time she saw that the stone had rolled away, and then she chased off to find the disciples. As she peers inside, Mary sees two angels, all in white, seated where Jesus' body had been there. Things are not as she feels. We're not even sure if she sees the linen, the clothes, the head napkin. All she sees is the glistening white of these angels. Things are not as she feels. Then they ask her a question. Woman, why are you crying? You know, it's a question that God often asks through his messengers. Why are you crying? Now, do you think that God doesn't know why you're crying? I think he does. So really the question is not for God's understanding, because he knows. He's been there the whole time. But I think the question that God asks to the angels is really something to prompt us to respond to him in renewed faith. Why are you crying? He calls us to speak to him and to open our eyes. God doesn't hide himself from us. We hide ourselves from God. We hide ourselves from others. We hide ourselves from ourselves when we hurt. Mary's words are also our words. She says, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." You know, Mary identifies her pain by what has been taken away from her. Pain is often just that, isn't it? We hurt because something has been taken from us. They've taken my home away. They've taken my husband away, my wife away, my children, my rights, my dignity, my health, my hope, my pride, my life. They have taken my Lord away, and the only person who brought healing to Mary is gone. And so our grief and the pain of the world is wrapped up in Mary's grief and pain. In her darkness, Mary turns around, and then she sees Jesus standing right before her. But Jesus still remains hidden from her. She did not realize it was Jesus. She is asked the same question again, but this time from the very lips of Jesus. Woman, why are you crying? But then an additional question. Who is it you are looking for? For whatever reason, she thinks that the man standing before her is the cemetery gardener. And so she says to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." You know, her love for Jesus is clearly felt, but so is her grief. But everything changes for Mary when she hears her name. "Mary," Jesus calls out. And then hearing her name, she turns to Jesus, and that was the moment of recognition. She recognizes his voice, and now in person. And she cries out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus calls her name as if to say, Mary, don't you remember me? With that, her eyes are open, and then she clings to Jesus. But curiously, this is an odd part of the story. Jesus says to her, don't hold on to me, because I have not yet returned to the Father. Jesus' words are a bit puzzling here. Some have suggested that Jesus didn't want Mary to touch his body because it is a new, resurrected, glorious body, and it should not be touched or contaminated, something like that. But I really think this misses the point, because in the story, in the next chapter, he invites Thomas to touch him to see if it really was him. I think that Jesus is helping Mary understand that her relationship to Jesus will not be like the old one. She remembers walking around Galilee and sharing meals with the disciples and doing ministry and wonderful things together. But something new has now taken place. She can't have Jesus in the old way anymore, because Jesus will now return to the Father. Now Mary will soon understand, but she must let Jesus go. And instead, her life will be about walking in the Holy Spirit and newness of life as a new creation life, where even in hardship and pain and grief, God will make all things new. Even in suffering and pain, God will redeem, he will transform, he will make all things new. So this new creation, this brand new relationship to Jesus, is embedded in the final instructions to Mary. He says to her, go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. Mary did just that. She went to the disciples as the first witness of the resurrection, boldly proclaiming, I have seen the Lord. Her evidence went beyond the linen cloths in an empty tomb, but the living Jesus himself, face to face, who called her by name. But Jesus wants Mary not to keep this all to herself, but to tell the disciples, who would turn around and tell the world. Tell them this. Tell them, I will return to the Father. And by the way, he seems to say in verse 17, tell them that my Father is your Father and my God is your God. I mean, these are profound words, friends. It's clearly saying, in me, you have a new relationship with God himself. Jesus' relationship with the Father is something you can have too. Mary's life began in spiritual darkness, and without Christ, we are the same as Mary. But in time, Mary allowed God to take her pain and the broken pieces of her life, and he transformed her into a new creation of God. Her old life is gone. It's history. And in our relationship with Jesus Christ, Jesus' Father is our Father. Jesus' God is our God. And we become new creations of God because it's constructed on the foundation of this brand new relationship with the resurrected living Jesus. There was a businessman who told a story of a warehouse property that he was selling. And the building was empty for months upon months because it was in bad need of repairs. Vandals had damaged the doors and smashed them in, broken the windows, trash strewn all over the place inside this building. As he showed a prospective buyer the property, The businessman took the pains to try to convince the buyer, and he told him, "I'll replace the broken windows. I will replace the doors. I will correct any structural damage. I'll get the stuff done and clean out all the garbage." But then the buyer says, "Forget about the repairs, man. When I buy this place, I'm going to build something completely different. I don't want the building. I just want the site." You see, the Christian life is not a self-help life. I mean, that's as trivial as trying to clean up this messed up warehouse slated for the wrecking ball. When we become new creations of God, our old life is over. It's forgiven. It dies with Christ when he died. But in Jesus, he makes all things new. And all he wants is your life. He wants you and your permission to build your life on his own resurrected life. Are you willing for him to do that? We are new creations in Jesus Christ. Will you let him do it? Let's pray. Lord, this is Easter Sunday morning. And sometimes the reality is we're in darkness. We're confused and we're hurting. We celebrate this day, and yet you seem hidden to us, not because you are hidden, but because of our own pain. And so I pray that you would work in us, as you did in Mary's life, to open our eyes to the reality of who you are. You are our living God who came in human flesh, who died the death that we deserved and resurrected to new life so that we could have your living life, a whole new life, a new creation life, a life where we don't simply get an old life back, but a whole brand new life built on the foundation of Jesus, where we live for you and for all eternity. And so teach us, Lord, to walk the resurrection life, that even in pain, help us to understand that you can redeem the pain to shape us, to mold us, to become like you. And so may we celebrate this day. You are alive. You are living. But may we allow you, the living Christ, to do your work in our life. In Jesus' name we pray.
Please stand and join us for our closing song.
I serve our risen Savior, he's in my world today. Serving whatever men may say, I see his hand of mercy,
I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him,
he's always near. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today, he walks walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart.